Show Podcast, episode 404. There's a joke there somewhere. I'm not doing it now. Maybe we'll cut and paste something in as we go here, or maybe Brian will think of something really witty to write in his description of the episode, as he is the one to do. So, it's the end of the year. We're going to be doing our year-end runner-up honors, as we do every year. We close out by doing our best and worst album debut, EPs, all that fun stuff. And then next week, we're breaking our format a little bit here and doing two episodes in a row. And next week will be our top, I think, 20 is what we've agreed. No, 25 is what we've 25. Agreed upon. Our top 25 albums of the year. And then either that same week or the next week, you will get our top, I think, also 25 albums of the decade in your feed. That's going to be a nightmare. We haven't figured that out yet.
That's definitely so far sucking more than the end of the regular end of the year list, which has not been fun this year either. So,
yeah. So that's going to be real hard, but we're going to do that. So enjoy looking forward to that and telling us how wrong we are. So speaking of breaking format, we are starting this honorifics episode off with best album artwork, which is not something we've ever done before, but we've already got our artwork aficionado and graphic designer extraordinaire on the call with us, Mr. Mike Clancy. Good morning and hello.
Hey guys.
So we figured, since he's already on the call, let's just start with that and then we'll get into the other bests and worsts later on. So as I always throw him under the bus and start this off this way every year, Mike, any top albums you loved that you want to talk about?
I think I have, if I remember correctly, the same answer I had last year, which was I've pretty much just only listened to podcasts this year. Like whenever I think about it, I feel bad because I'm like, I obviously enjoy listening to music and I know there's some great stuff coming out, but my lists of podcasts just takes over that. So I haven't listened to much, but of course, if people remember anything about me, I'm a huge Norma Jean fan. So when a new Norma Jean comes out, I make it my business to listen to that. So that's probably the most listened to metal this year for me. And yeah, they're on a streak, man. This is really fucking good.
They are. We will for sure be talking about that album next week. There's no doubt about
it. Yeah, I'm very excited to see where it lands on the list.
Your answer also amused me because I still don't listen to podcasts.
Been recording one for 9 years. Never listened to one.
Nope. I mean, I think I've listened to literally like one or two before, but like I don't do it regularly, and I can't imagine not listening to excess amounts of music every day. So the fact that you do the exact opposite, it's just like I can't picture it.
I split the uprights between you guys, but mostly that's because I have headphones in for about 9 hours a day, so I managed to find time to do both. I don't listen to as much music as Brian, and I also don't listen to as many podcasts as Mike, so I'm somewhere kind of in between y'all.
I have the time. I have over an hour in the car every day, plus I'm at a desk about 8 hours, probably 7 or so. Or when I work from home, that's even a little more time sitting in front of speakers if I wanted to. But I just don't throw the podcast in there. I don't know.
Just got to find one or two that I think you'd really like and get you into a couple without having like going down that rabbit hole of now you listen to nothing but podcasts. Yeah. Just find like a couple that would be like Brian specific.
Yeah, because like my job, I can't listen to other, like my job is both visual and audio, so I can't do that. But so I do most of my listening when I'm walking the dog. And I just realized that I think I probably gravitate towards podcasts because I work from home and I'm by myself. So I probably just want to hear other people talking.
That makes perfect sense.
Like I'm cool with working from home. Like I dig it. Like when I first started doing it, people were like, you're going to go insane. I don't know how you do that. I'm like, no, I fucking love it. Like I'm cool being by myself. I got my dog as my office assistant and that's it. But yeah, maybe I'm not as cool as it as I think I am.
Yeah, you just need to hear voices. Talking.
And I'm just too obsessed with video games to not be up on the latest news. So that's most of my podcast listening.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's not what we're here for. We're going to go on with our best album artwork of the year. I think we're going to do 5-ish picks apiece. Who wants to kick it off?
I vote Mike because he's the guest.
Okay. Mike gets to go first.
All right, listeners, pick up your phone and follow along.
Yeah, that's right. I think, do we normally embed album artwork in this post? I think we
do.
I think we do.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So go over to sideshowpodcast.com, look at this episode link, and you should be able to find the artwork that we're going to talk about.
Awesome. Cool. So I do believe we all picked 5. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You might have just said that. So I think in typical fashion, I have ordered them. You guys have not. Don't blame me.
Correct.
another side note before we get started. This year, you're going to be proud of me. I picked my top 5, and then I actually listened to samples of all of them. So I have kind of an idea of what they sound like. Because I know, at least for Nick, sometimes that influences...
It matters greatly for at least 2 of the picks on my list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like if it... Yeah, if they, yeah, okay. Cool. So my number 5, which is not normally a style I go with, but I think it's very well done and it's very eye-catching, is Desecravity Anathema. Very painterly, that, you know, kind of split light and dark down the middle, you know, themes we've definitely seen before, the almost unreadable font, but it's really well done. And it's, I don't know. I pick stuff off of just like the vibe of it most of the time, but this thing definitely has a powerful feeling when you look at it. You know, you think normally just like, oh, another skull. Great. But yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like there's other things going on that kind of make up the skull, but you can't quite figure out what it is. So it just feels like this big whirlwind of stuff colliding together.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. I feel like I think we might have even discussed this or read about it when we reviewed the album, but the eyebrows are like mouths.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 2 horse-ish type monsters converging on the forehead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's good art. Okay. Brian, you're next.
I'm just doing mine alphabetically.
That works.
Because that's how I looked them up 10 minutes ago. So, first would be Blood Incantation. While I love how unreadable their logo is, I can't say I necessarily love it right in the middle of the top, but taking that out, like, they actually had, I don't recall his name, an actual retro sci-fi artist who did this type of work back in the day make the artwork. And it totally, not only does it work for the album, it's just a really cool picture. Fitting of the title, too, you can kind of see, it looks like he's creating things with his giant brain as there's molecules and stuff floating around, and you can't tell if he just tore down the cityscape he's in or he's building it up. And it's... It works for me. I think it's a little bit creepy, but it's just also very... There's a lot of story to be told with it, as they did with their album.
Okay. My first one, and this goes directly to the music fits the cover theme, has to be Dead Kiwis with Systematic Home Run. That art is so over the top. It's dripping with 80s, you know, like... video game layout, playing baseball with dynamite into a stadium full of monsters. Like, when you hit play on that album, it is so jarring and weird. This artwork, if you recall, Brian, was what made us listen to this band.
Yes.
We were scrolling through a Bandcamp thing, I think, and I was like, what? Okay, I gotta check that out. And, you know, the artwork sold the album, and the artwork does kind of in some way hold up to what the music is. So
yeah,
as far as album artwork serving the band, this does about as good of a job as any.
Al doesn't even have the finger next to the press play.
Yeah.
Like it's a actual screenshot.
Yeah. It looks like the Final Fantasy finger. I can almost hear the sound effect that goes with it. Yeah, that one made me laugh when I looked at that one.
Yeah, and it is one that you would need to have context of what the album is in order to, like, fully appreciate, I think. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, let's see. My number four, this one actually is, after listening to samples of everything, this one is the one I'm, like, most interested in checking out because I was impressed. It's The Offering, Home. Mm-hmm. They seem like quite a mashup of some genres. Like the clean, yes, that clean singing, like normally I don't go for that kind of vibrato. I don't know which genre it falls into, but
neither do we.
I normally don't go with that, but everything else that surrounds it, it's like, oh, okay, these guys are just having fun with this and like just mixing and matching, and it just seemed really cool. But the artwork, fairly simple, but great use of negative space on this one. You know, I feel like a lot of album art you see is symmetrical. But this is very cool, just kind of focusing on the lower corner. I love their logo. I'm assuming that's their, like, usual logo for the band. Yep. And, you know, you just have this mysterious figure standing on this cliff. But what makes it even more interesting is that you don't know, like, what the hell is that cliff made out of?
Right.
Like, you see some, like, leaves on the far left, so it seems natural. But then you get to the end, and it's, like, these weird, misshapen, almost tentacle-like roots or... So it lends this little bit of sci-fi to it almost, but yeah, I really like it. And it's got that kind of cloudy brownish covering to everything. It's
cool. Yeah, semi-obscured look.
Yeah.
Okay, so far no overlap. Let's see if this changes now.
So this is one that actually grew on me, and part of it, again, is it with fitting the album. That is Cattle Decapitation's Death Atlas. At first, I didn't like this artwork compared to the last two, honestly. But getting the vinyl of it helped, where it's completely matte, and you can really see that it's a painting and the textures of it. When you're looking on the computer, it looks painting-ish, but the colors are like oversaturated. You don't get a true painting vibe to it. But then when you really listen to the album, obviously the title is self-explanatory, matching the artwork, but it really does fit and work with everything. It's a little more haunt. Seeing it in a more of a true format makes it a little more haunting than it does on the computer. But I think it's a really nice piece.
Yeah, the lighting on that is amazing.
Like, yeah,
the yellow on the back of the skeleton. That's cool.
Yeah, the red kind of like aurora look. I'm still not sure if I like or really dislike.
Right.
It jumps out, but I feel like it's biased wrong. Like there's way more under the logo, and not enough on the other side to like set it off. But the logo corner is busier anyways.
Right.
So I don't know. This album artwork, I agree with you. It's striking. It's fitting. But it didn't... I don't know. There's something about it that just didn't quite work for me as well as some of their previous stuff. They used the same guy for everything. And this one didn't quite sit as well with
it. It's a little more simple at the face of it compared to the last two. The other two were a lot busier. This is busier in the background with the smoke and the lighting and stuff. So it definitely gives a different feel, but... if it needs to be, the digital version needs to be toned down like you see it in person. And to me, that helped significantly, but I agree with you partially.
Okay. Number two for me, this again is not going to make either of your lists, and it's because of what the music is. And that is Horndahl's album Remains. It's very basic, drawn, you know, a line of skeletons marching to a factory with a giant skull floating over it. And for Mike's, I guess, knowledge, the band is from the town Horndal, and they are telling a story of a town that was completely killed by a factory that bled the town dry, and the town pretty much doesn't exist anymore. And it's like a barren wasteland of music reflecting on what the outcome for their town has been.
Okay.
And the album artwork is just so like perfectly simple and poignant to what that is, that it like it stuck with me as a package. Like everything about this band has a very, very centralized theme. Mm-hmm. And it worked from artwork to straightforward delivery to everything about it is just very simple, very in your face, not, you know, pulling any punches or trying to be tongue in cheek about anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it worked. I like it.
Cool. Yeah, definitely knowing the story definitely helps that one, because I kind of think it just breezed past it.
Yeah, it's basic art, but when it like gets put with the context of what the music is, it changes a little bit.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, so back to me. Okay, another one that I'm interested to check out some more after listening to it is Ingested, Call of the Void.
Now we have an overlap. Well done.
So
yeah, that's funny.
This one's cool. I love just the slim slice down the middle of this. Again, here we go with symmetry. But mm-hmm. Yeah, just getting just a window into this image, and it's the important part of the image, and you just have this like knight with his staff with the light on it, you know, kind of, I guess, kind of having that heroic feature to him, like he's about to defeat this tentacled beast from the void. Mm-hmm. Shining through. It's a very like biblical looking image. Not that there's tentacle monsters in the Bible, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's like the Lovecraftian Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you could see this as like a Renaissance painting or something if it was colored in. But yeah, this I really like this. There's not much color, but the fact that it's like this gray with the gold and the symbols on the bottom, and just to top it all off, you have parts of the image that bleed out from this sliver, which just is the icing on the cake. Because if it didn't do that, it might be a little too plain.
Right.
Yeah. This was on my short list as well. I feel like there's at least one album a year that has this color scheme. This just like really sepia, little bit of gold, mostly gray, black artwork. Mm-hmm. And there's one that makes my list every year because I love that color layout and that, you know, complementary contrasting color situation. And this one was just very, very striking, and it was on my list as well.
Yeah, it was on mine too, actually. And to add to it, if you look at a lot of their peers, they're usually super, super busy artworks that have big, ugly monsters with numerous heads, teeth, tentacles. Like, and here they took that idea and classed it up. But that's also what the album did, is they took that slam sound that they were, you know, in the forefront of and made it slightly classier, but yet keeping their sound. So it not so much ties to the theme of the album, but ties to the sound of the genre and what they did with it, too.
Yep. Cool. Okay. So are we all counting that as one and we're back to Mike, or is it now Brian? How are we doing this?
Sure, I'll go. Just
okay.
For the hell of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump to... I'm going to skip one of my alphabet ones and to go to Flub.
Okay.
It's as counterintuitive as it is fitting. It's... When you look... I'm looking at the array of... How many? There's like a lot of artwork in this folder. I forgot what the number was, but
76, I believe. Yeah,
this is the most peaceful of them. Despite the cloaked figure in it, the glowing colors and fantasyscape of this is just so different than so many other artworks, and so is the album. While it's tech death, it's bright and fun and a little weird. And this painting looks like it could be, you know, some sequel to Alice in Wonderland or, you know, something weird like that. And it's the colors that really get me, and the lighting with it. But it's just, it's so different than everything else and just a pretty piece. Like, you could take the logo out of it and I would hang that up.
Yeah, this one's very cool. I definitely stopped when I saw this one. Yeah, totally. Alice in Wonderland, almost a little Avatar-ish.
Yeah.
The crazy forest and all the colors. Yeah, it's very cool. Not a fan of the logo, but it's cool.
Oh, why not?
I like the logo. Yeah, it could be placed differently, or it just shouldn't be on there. It should be like just on the side of the CD, if it were a CD or something like that.
Yeah. All right. My next one, and this goes away from the fitting the music thing. This is just for some reason it stuck with me, and I remembered it all year, and I cannot defend or justify why. But it, like, when I was thinking, oh, album artwork, this is one I picked. No clue how to defend it. That would be Torch's Admission. There's just something simple and catchy and pretty about it. The very muted, simple colors. I don't know. I got nothing to defend why I like this one. It just... It struck me from the get-go.
Lavender is not a color you normally see in metal art.
No. That's very true. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it has nothing to do with anything. The album title has nothing to do with the artwork. It doesn't convey what the music sounds like in the slightest. So objectively, I would have to say this is not good. But there's something that was, like, striking and memorable about it for me that, like, when I was just trying to think of artwork off the top of my head that I really liked... This is one that I came back to. So it has to make the list, but I don't know why.
It's just weird enough to stick. Yeah.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So my number two is, listen to this. Not crazy about this one. Not going to look further into it. Insomnium, Heart Like a Grave.
Okay.
Again, another, I guess, yeah, three of my five are muted images this year, but this is cool because I love the text, like the two different fonts they used. It seems like an old movie or something, like when, like, you know, the, like a silent movie where something happens and then that the image pops up with what's going on.
Yeah, like the dialogue cards. Yeah.
Yeah. And just this ring of like roots, it gives like this dual imagery for me. It's like one, like, cause the title of the album, Heart Like a Grave, it almost seems like this hole in the ground, this deep hole. You don't know how far it goes, but it also has that like crown of thorns sort of vibe to it. Like that's when I first saw it, like the first half a second, that's what I thought it was. But then I realized it was more like roots. And even like the subtle frame that goes around it, like those dialogue cards would have, like it's you almost don't notice it at first, but
this is
just, again, just not much, not very involved, but striking.
Yeah.
So I guess technically this is my last one since we all tied on and adjusted. I'm going to go with Spirit Adrift.
Okay.
It's busy, but it's fitting of the title, and I really like it. While it's busy, it's still one cohesive landscape, and I really like the figure, the woman with the torch, and how it's accent lighting, you know, that half the picture, and it doesn't even seem like she's divided by darkness. It seems like she's surrounded by darkness. I mean, there's so many things in this picture trying to kill her or each other. But at the same time, it's like, you know, a real painting as opposed to, you know, some funky digital art. All the creatures and figures and stuff in their work, the trail of skulls she's running on, has a lot of detail in it. Like every skull It's not just, you know, round bulbs here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the details in here that get me. You can look at into every piece of the picture and find something cool going on with it. Down to even the little lighting next to the dude under the bridge, just showing off that little section of picture. It looks like a lot of thought went into it.
Yeah, it's fun to, like, travel around and find. It's like a little eye spy, like, to see if you missed anything. You know, you want to take a few passes at it, for sure.
I also just noticed that she is also carrying a knife, so she's not just defenseless and running away from everything. She's, if something has to happen, she's ready. So it does help tell a story a little bit, too.
Okay, my last one is Fit for an Autopsy, The Sea of Tragic Beasts.
That was also on my list. That was the one I skipped over to get to Flub.
Yeah. This is a very striking image. Mm-hmm. I like that you can see the texture captured on, like, the canvas this was painted on, and that just smashed-faced floating skull bleeding into the water. It's just the pastels of the background juxtaposed by, like, the bright crimson red running out of the thing's face is just so engaging and captivating that it really, really worked for me. And the logo fits on it perfectly. It doesn't stand out in any sort of way. Like, it just belongs in that scene. It was really, really well done. And there is Mike's little tinge of symmetry here. The logo and the album name are both centered. The skull is centered. It's got two streams of red running down it, like dripping into the sea, but it looks more like a river. And then the banks both curling up kind of similarly on both sides of it. It has a very nice, cohesive, centered feel to it. I don't know. It's really pretty. This is probably my favorite art of the year.
Yeah, this is cool. Like floating large masses are like a reoccurring thing I've noticed over the past few years, but this is a very, very good, the best version of it. And yeah, like you said, the symmetry of this, and especially the curve of the land on each side, like, it just draws your eye to the middle. It does what it's supposed to do, and yeah. Very cool. I definitely stopped and gave this one a think about putting it on the list when I saw it, for sure.
Okay, last one. Right. What do you got?
My number one. This one is fun, and it stands out due to certainly the coloring, which you wouldn't expect, which is a lot of pink. It's Beaten to Death, Agronomicon.
Nice.
Gave this a listen. It was fun, but I don't think I could listen to this whole thing just personally. Not that it's bad, but just not my style. But this freaking pink goat with the goofy teeth.
Yeah.
Like, this is just so much fun. And, like, this would have been the one that I wouldn't be able to get out of my head if I saw it in the beginning of the year. I would have known I was gonna be going back to this one. Again, symmetrical for the most part. And I don't know what the hell it is, but on the bottom, on the left side, there's like this mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
it looks like a cowbell that's a mouth with a tongue drew out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell that is. And the white things next to it, like, I'm assuming are more flowers. But it's just like a goofy image, but it's also like well done, and the style is very sketchy. Like, it almost looks like someone drew it on like an iPad or something with a certain type of brush. Like, it doesn't look like someone painted this in a physical
way.
Right.
And I also like how the name of the album kind of blends in. It matches the style. It's not just laid on top.
Yep. You also have, like, a full farmscape there, because on the right is the farm, and on the left you could see a tractor and a scarecrow.
Yeah, you get a tractor, you get a pitchfork, you get, yeah.
Yeah, this one just, this one tickled me.
Yeah.
Tickled you.
Everything about this band tickles me.
Yeah.
I mean, the grindcorn, that's funny. It will always be funny. Yeah. Yeah, when I first discovered these guys a couple of years ago, I believe I sent a... What was the message I sent you, Brian? It was...
If you need... was like something like, if you need something to brighten your day or something like that.
Yeah, beaten to death.
Beaten to death.
Yeah.
It's also funny how the band name is slightly tilted. It's not perfectly straight. Like, they just stamped it quick and, like, we approved this artwork and then moved on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like their their logo.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Okay, so that's it. That's our album art. We did it. I guess we can release you back to the world, and we'll move on with our musical related picks.
Cool. Well, as always, thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Enjoy doing this every year. And so I was trying to think how many times I've done this. So I'm assuming it's since you guys started it as a podcast and not a radio show.
Yeah, I think you've been on every year. So that would be 9 times.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Big 10 next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should do top 10. We're not going to do top 10.
No, absolutely not. Do you know how many fucking albums that would be? I mean, I could tell you if you give me 45 seconds here. I can do that math. Hang on. You guys should just talk.
I think you're doing a little too much of it, because what I would do is, you know, take our top fives from every year and just pick from there, but which would be 50, not 327.
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
It's also probably way more than that, but...
It is way more than that. So we did 76 this year, right? It's safe to assume we're going to do about that next year? Okay, so 76 times 2 plus 144 plus 143. Hey, we are consistent.
Makes sense. We had a structure.
And then we broke it.
It's our show. We do what we want.
So, you know what? Okay. So, my file, we only saved back to 2016. So, that's roughly, that's 4 years worth. So, in 4 years, that would be 578 albums. So more than double that. We'd have to look through over 1,000 album artworks if we want to look at all of them. But obviously, Brian's suggestion makes way more sense. However, we are definitely not going to do that. There's no chance.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it. We're going to move on. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, as always. Anything you want to plug?
Plug? No. No. Not at the moment. Thank you, but...
Cool. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Very good.
Look forward to
as always, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for all the artwork you provide for us, and I'm sure we'll be hitting you up for some sort of thematic Bandcamp related theme for 2020 as soon as we land on it. We're not quite there yet.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that'll be fun.
So. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, and we will catch you later on.
All right, so with that, we're going to move into our best EPs, which is a little easier this year because we didn't have that many. And really, the few we had were all standouts in their own right. So since I'm not allowed to have ties, because I pretty much have a 3-way tie, I think I have to give the best one to Dead Kiwis. Because, I mean, kind of what you were talking about, even when you were discussing the artwork, I mean, that was just out there. And grindy and mathy and weird and fun and just... something fresh yet, you know, easy to get into and memorable.
Yeah, I mean that album, that EP, which also it took us a little research to find out if they classified this as an EP or an album, because it's not clear.
No, it is not.
It could be either, but we landed on EP based on the fact that it's only 16 minutes long. And I think we saw somewhere else it was listed as an EP.
Yeah.
But this is a ton of fun. Like, I came back to this so many times this year whenever I needed an example of something ridiculous and extreme. Like, this was it. Like, the mashup of 80s video game synth stuff with just some of the most intense, ridiculous power violence stuff stacked on top of it is just, there's nothing else like it, and I loved it. Are we ranking these in order? Or am I going next? I have a feeling our lists are identical.
Probably.
Because there's only a few to pick from. So in that case, my next one, we've already talked about this band for artwork, and that would be Ingested, Call of the Void. This is fantastic. This is everything that you would want from this band, except for not long enough. It was great. This takes where Level Above Human was and just kind of keeps pushing it. You know, especially that the back-to-back two-part song there that kind of gave them a little bit more breath, a little bit larger of a structure, worked really, really well. You know, as you mentioned when you were talking about the album artwork, this is basically just taking everything that their peers do and giving it a touch of class and delivering it in such a nice, concise way that it was easily a standout.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping they completed recordings for their new album, so we'll should be seeing a full length from them next year. We'll talk about more previews for next year, but there's already at least, I think, well, I'm trying to remember now, 8 albums like I'm really looking forward to, and this is one of them. So last for me, it was actually hard. So this is technically a demo, not an EP, but I was going to go with Necroseptic.
Oh, we don't match. Okay.
Yeah. Nick and I kept going back and forth. Does this count as an EP? It's listed as a demo, but it's also EP length and quality. Like, I remember discussing that when we talked about it. But, you know, it picks up where Scum Guts left off, and I like Scum Guts. And so when I needed a quick dose, something a little maybe more than the 2-song Nails EP, which I went back to, and that was a single. I can't even call that an EP. If I wanted just a little something, I would hit this Necroseptic demo, and because it is just the production for a demo, the production is perfect for the sound of it, the grindiness of it, the little bit of groove and stuff that makes it Power Violence is just, you know, a perfect balance for me.
Yeah, that was really good. The other one for me is Black Matter Device with their EP Hostile Architecture. We first found these guys when we did the Sideshow ABCs and covered an album of theirs. And then only 2 episodes later, they put out a new EP that we got to skim through as well and really, really enjoyed. This is just a fun blast of energy delivered in like a 10-minute package. Which seems to be the theme with the EPs this year. They're all like, you know, a few songs long, but all in the sub 15-minute, 20-minute range, but more than just 2 songs. And they're energetic, they're quick, they're heavy, and they fill that quick dose of needing something to pump you up, and this definitely fit that bill for me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And they also have fantastic song names.
Yes, they do. All right, so that's best EPs. I think we covered all of them except for 1 EP that came out this year, and that was Weights, We Are in Transit. It's also good, but didn't quite make either of our lists. Go check that one out if you feel like it. So, next category is best debut. There were a few this year, and I think we've mentioned already that we decided to try something a little different and allow our Bandcamp picks to be reflected in our year-end stuff as long as those albums came out within 2019. So you're going to see a couple of those pop up here, and you're going to see them a couple of them pop up next week as well. Spoiler alert. So for me, I have 5 here. I don't know if we want to talk about all of them or let's just do a top 3. That's fine. So my number 1 for that is Opacia on Blackest Wings. I'm going to talk about this more next week, so I won't drool over it too much. But this fit that kind of groove death metal vibe that I love that we don't seem to cover a whole bunch of. And these guys fucking nailed it, especially for a first album. Like, this is great. It's everything I would have wanted that I didn't know I was looking forward to.
Yeah. I kind of forgot that was a debut. The other thing was an EP, so it is a debut album. You're right. Damn. Well, I'm not going to change my list, though. I have to agree with my co-host here. Another Bandcamp pick that was a best debut is Meyer Planer.
That's on mine.
Sweet. It didn't end up... I don't think I'll be speaking of this more next week, but this is, if you remember the review at all, I mean, they just took so many extremes in, you know, post-hardcore and sludge metal and, you know, progressive songwriting stuff and made a really intense, just complete package that, oh, sorry, my computer wasn't working for a second there, that just took you on a hell of a trip. And it's so dense, but there's really so much to grab onto and listen to the album. It's extremely impressive for something brand new.
Yep. Okay. So that was on mine as well. You pretty much covered everything there's to say about it. I don't know if we're going to get to talk about it next week or not. I don't remember. I don't have that list in front of me, but that was on my year-end list. I just don't know if it made our cumulative one or not. I can't remember off the top of my head. Another one that we will definitely be talking about and have already talked about today is Flood. Mm-hmm.
That's on mine, too.
We only did 76 albums and only so many of them were debuts. Like, obviously this is going to overlap. There was kind of never a doubt in my mind. The unique delivery of everything about this band, from the album artwork that we've discussed at length already to their turn on a dime songwriting and stylistic approach to everything they do, is unlike anything in the tech death field that I've listened to before. It adds a level of levity and kind of humor, but not really, to the entire album. And it's fun. It is always fun. And you don't get that on a lot of their contemporaries, where everything feels very serious and, you know, almost mechanical in its delivery. And there's nothing about this that fits that descriptor at all. And it was refreshing and extremely enjoyable.
Yeah, what he said. That was my other, my parent Flub was the one I listed first. The other one I have for a best debut is Sermon.
That was a runner-up for me.
That was one that I kind of forgot about for a while, but as soon as I went back to it, I remembered why. I remembered our discussion about why I rated it so high, and it's we reviewed so much death metal and grindiness and stuff, and this just added something a little different, something kind of Catatonia-esque but bigger soundscape, a little more epic sounding, but no less memorable and catchy than everything else. It's something we didn't see coming from a band we never heard of that was just, it did end up sticking with me and adding a little bit of texture into the musical landscape of what we checked out this year. And fitting of the name, it felt very not religious, but something you could hear happening in a giant cathedral. Like, there was a certain ceremony to it that made it work.
It's a good word for it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other debuts you want to throw in there?
Those are my three.
Or are we moving on from there? Okay, cool. Sermon was my runner-up on that, so you've pretty much covered it. Okay, so I guess that takes us down to most improved.
Yeah.
I have three on this one. The biggest and most obvious one, we're going to be... Well, you talked about their album artwork already, and we're going to be talking about them next week. There's kind of no doubt about that. And we talked about them on our last episode. And that is Spirit Adrift, Divided by Darkness. We skipped this band when the album came out earlier this year. We're like, I guess we could review it. We covered them before. They were a three of a band, kind of a throwback sound, not really, you know, something we need to seek out. And then it just started popping up on every single year-end list. And we're like, well, I guess we should probably listen to this. And we both gave it fives. It is extremely good. You know, it sees them stepping forward and kind of finding their own sound while still paying homage to, you know, all their predecessors and all the people that they're clearly influenced by. I feel like I don't really need to go too much further into describing this one because we literally just reviewed it and played a song for you last week.
And we're literally going to talk about it next week.
Yeah, good point. But this was a big step forward for a band that to me previously was entirely unmemorable. Mm-hmm. And they're now on a year-end list for me. So that's my number one.
Yeah. Obviously, I totally agree with that, as we discussed last week. One of mine, I didn't rank these, but one of my, and this seems a little bit of a cop-out, but I have to give it to them, is Misery Index. Because as much as I enjoyed the previous album, and I know I rated so highly and stuff, as time went on, I liked the songs when they popped up, but I didn't find myself going back to that album as much as, you know, some of their older stuff, or, and as it turned out, the newest stuff. And it was really the new album that made me realize how much of a step above they went. So, I mean, Rituals of Power is just so far above and beyond where they went with the Killing Gods. And, you know, I gave it a 5. I loved it. And it just put into a new perspective. And it's exactly where I want the band to be. So that I kind of, it's, again, seems like a cop out because I've never really disliked anything they've done, but they just made me see the differences.
Yeah, I mean, it can still be a good band and improve. Yeah. That's kind of what we want for every band we like, or for every band in general. So, like, that's totally valid, I think. I need to spend more time with that band. I like them when I listen to them, but they never leave an impression, and they're one of your favorite bands. Yeah. So I should probably put more effort into that. All right, my next one is Haunt, If Icarus Could Fly. Again, just talked about these guys. They still fit in that throwback vibe. We only did it because it picked up on a couple of the year-end lists, but this was all the same things I would say about Spirit Adrift. It just took a established sound that is one that you and I generally don't care for, that doesn't feel like they're breaking new ground, and contextualized it in a way that felt fresh, felt memorable, and was just so damn catchy.
Yeah.
They went from a band I did not care about to a band that not only have I listened to in an off week and actually gone back to and enjoyed, but one that I'm looking forward to hearing where they go from here and what they continue to put out.
Fair. Mine, it's funny because, well, my next one is Killswitch Engage. Because while the album, as we had discussed when we reviewed it, the album is flawed. And when I said there's something missing, and you pointed out very specifically, it's the breakdowns. Atonement is still so far above and beyond Incarnate, which I actually forget that albums exist from time to time. Because I go back, I like Disarm the Descent. I will go back to that. There's nothing on Incarnate that stood out to me. So even for its flaws, Atonement is directionally correct in where I want them to go. Mm-hmm. Throw a couple of breakdowns in there. Well, they'll be back, you know, to their olden days. So it's,
yeah.
So hopefully they'll go from there and keep this trajectory. But I mean that. This is probably they were the band that probably has the most improvement over what we discussed, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And that was a complete, like, overlook for me. I kind of forgot about
it. Right, because we don't go back to the album even that much. But when you think about it.
Right. Right. It's leaps and bounds better than where they're coming from. All right, my last one. And I seem to be on a theme this year of things that are older throwback sounds that have just tweaked it a little bit in a way that makes me enjoy it more. And that would be Gate Creeper with Deserted. It's not leaps and bounds different than Sonar and Deprivation. It just, the production fits better. It has a little bit more of a groove kind of slamminess to it that just works better for me. It's not like some giant restructuring, reworking of their sound. It's still very old school death metal, but there's something about the way this band packages their music that works for me on a level that most other old school death metal bands don't. And I don't know, there's something about it that just checked the boxes for me. I have gone back to this so many times since it came out.
It's,
I don't know why. I can't really defend it, but I fucking love this album.
It's so funny. Maybe I think I need to go back to it another time or two, because I feel like that was one album you and I very strongly disagreed on. And
yeah,
it's weird because I feel like we shouldn't have based on our general common interests. But I will try it again. But I thought it was, I wouldn't call it a most disappointing, spoiler alert, I'm not going to. But it was, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, again, don't know why. Something about this band just clicks for me in ways that their contemporaries don't.
Fair enough. So, that was our most improved. So now it's the other end of that, with the most disappointing.
Uh-huh.
So I'll call this one first, because I know you have it on yours as well, and that's Periphery. That album wasn't great. I honestly cannot sit here and tell you really much of anything about that album, because I did not go back and listen to it after we reviewed it. I just know I didn't like it. I thought... I know I didn't even like 3 as much as the previous ones, and I still don't, though. But that album is a lot better than 4. Mm-hmm. It just... The writing wasn't good. And they tried to be so heavy, and it didn't work. And you also start with a 60-minute song. I forgot about that shit show.
Yeah. Start with a 16, end with a 10.
Yeah. This didn't work. Period.
No. There are moments on it that do. There are some times that it kind of shines. But by and large, this feels like they needed a producer. This feels like they need somebody in their corner being like, guys, it's okay to make some cuts. It's okay to leave some riffs on the floor. You don't have to put in everything. You don't have to try to do everything and be everything all at once. There are some songs that just don't connect, and that's, you know, don't put them on the album. It's okay to leave them off. Like, It's Only Smiles is a terrible song. There's no way around that. It did not need to make the cut. I don't know. It just, this was weak, which is weird because it's also the heaviest thing they've ever done. But it goes both ways. You know, Crush is another, like, just super poppy, simple, straightforward song. It's just, they put too much on here without having flow and direction, and it didn't work for me. This is a band I always want to root for.
Yeah.
But this didn't do it. All right, my other big pick, and this feels like a little bit of a weak sauce pick for me, because historically I don't love this band anyways, but that would be Exhumed's Horror. I do not like that approach to what they have done. And if they hadn't put out a couple albums that were a lot more involved and a lot better and had like a lot more structure and good songwriting, I wouldn't have cared at all. But the fact that they have, and I know that, and there is an album or two from them that I really like, I don't want them to go this far backwards to, you know, the sound they started off with, because it feels like such a big step backwards. Right. It feels like such a departure from all that is good that they could do, that this is a bummer. I just did not care for it at all.
Yeah, I can agree to, I mean, I know I ultimately liked it more than you did, but I think I can also agree with that. I just didn't put that in my top 3 here. My other one, and this seems weird because I know I didn't love the last album, is Fallujah, because Dreamless was definitely not as good as The Flesh Prevails, but it wasn't terrible. That was disappointing, but to me, I still had hopes for the band, and Undying Light killed that. I won't go so far as say they're dead to me now, but they're also... Their next album is going to have to show up on a lot of lists for me to go like pull it out and listen to it. I mean, it didn't have all the elements of the band were like toned down and mixed weird. And just like, it wasn't a well-written, remotely good album. It was something completely forgettable. And at least Dreamless had elements to bring you back into it if you wanted. I feel like this just didn't have that at all.
Okay. Is that it? Are we on to our worst?
I had one more, because that's fit for an autopsy. That's a band we didn't go back to. I recall discussing that so much, how like they sound like every other band now when they didn't used to so much. And so again, it wasn't a bad album per se, but that, unlike where Killswitch went into direction we wanted them to go in, to me, Fit for an Autopsy did not. They wrote a really good album going the wrong way. So it's, the direction was disappointing more than the writing itself, but it was just not what I wanted from the band. So now I'm done. We can go to worst.
Okay. I only have one pick.
I know we agree on this.
And I mean, and that works for worst. There can only be one worst, although I guess there can only be one best, so never mind. But This is bad. This is a band that if you removed feedback, if you tried to make them play an acoustic set, which, I mean, no one makes a metal band play an acoustic set, but if you removed the concept of feedback from their album, you'd be left with no music. And that is meth. This is terrible. I hated it at the time. It's one of two albums I gave a 1-2 this year. And it was absolute garbage. It lacked structure. It lacked songwriting. It lacked anything cohesive about it. The only through line was that they discovered if you stand in front of your amp and let the guitar ring out, it makes a squealing noise. And that is what you get for the entire album. Or then you get like jangly nothingness, but they never work together. It's never cohesive. It never flows. It's just ringing noise or stripped down nothingness with nothing in between. This was absolutely awful.
Yeah. I had that as a worst too, though. Somehow I didn't give anything a one this year.
You're going back to being too generous.
Oh, I need to go listen to my I don't want to listen to the album again. I need to listen to my review of that album and see how I justified that, because I'm sure I did. I'm also going to mention a runner-up, just to shit on them again, and that's Baroness. Because we didn't exactly review it, because we made the point of saying we can't listen to it because it hurts. Because the production is so god-awful. And it didn't fall into disappointing because they pulled the same shit on their last album.
Right, so, yeah. It can't be disappointing if it's a pattern.
What bothers me more, and this isn't their fault, is that when this ends up on lists, and I've seen it on a few lists and good reviews, nobody discusses the production. I'm like, that's a big deal. Because if they produce that right, I might fucking love it. But I can't listen to it. So I don't understand how that doesn't play part in it. I think Nick and I tend to rag on production probably more than a lot of other review places. But it's important. And this is the reason
why. And there's no excuse for it being this bad. Yeah.
So that it's maybe ultimately it's not meth bad, but I'm not going to know because I won't listen to the album.
Right. Okay. That's it. That's all of them. We did it. So that is all of our other categories and contenders for 2019. We are going to be back next week. I need to pull a calendar up in front of me. And we're going to be putting out our top 25 of the year. And then either that same week or the following one, we got to work that out yet. We're going to be doing our top 25 of the decade. I'm not looking forward to that, but we have to still make that list. So that's going to do it for this one. Merry Christmas to all of you who celebrate. And we'll be back in your feed just before New Year's to go over the best albums of 2019. It'll be something. We're getting there. You know how much we love this. All right, that's that. I have no music to leave you with this week, so enjoy our outro. You haven't heard that in a while.